Amazing.
Most likely.
You know what? You should always take branding advice from me, even though I don't know what I'm doing. So anyway, I think we're live. We are live on air. So welcome everybody to Brain Food Live on Air. This is episode 40. Episode 40 of this. I think it's probably going to be the last show of the year. I was hoping to do something with the election next year, but I won't actually be next week, but I won't actually be here, I've realized. And I'll be on a train somewhere, so I might not be able to do it. So this could be the last one for 2019. And I'm very excited today. The reason why is because we've amazing achievement from my side, actually, to get to this number. Never thought we'd get there, but it's been brilliant to do it. And more importantly, my co-host, Adam Gordon, has once again been upgraded. With Fanny Comba. Fanny, how are you doing? Great to have you on the show.
Thank you for welcoming me. I'm doing great. It's nice to be here
It's
with you
fantastic.
guys.
I know, and it's fantastic to see you in London as well. We've been hanging out and having a few drinks and stuff. So, great that we can show you some hospitality in this city. So, Fanny, for the people who don't know you, I wonder whether you just quickly introduce yourself, what you do, and that kind of stuff.
Of course. So I'm actually from Switzerland, hence the weird French name. Fanny is very French, so please don't laugh at this. I work in the biggest job board. So I'm head of communication and marketing in the biggest job board in Switzerland called JobCloud, and I have my own business in HR marketing and employer branding also in Switzerland. That's what I do.
Perfect, perfect. And that actually is really in line with the topic of today, because we are talking about Facebook ads in recruitment and how do we do that better? Because it's clear that in recruiting, we are way behind the curve on this. So it's going to be interesting to explore that. But before we get into the topic at hand, we always review recruiting brain food from last week. So I ask the question every week, have you read the newsletter? And if so, what did you find interesting about recruiting Brain Food 164, Fanny?
I'm wondering if everyone always answers yes, of course, I've read it, or if you ever had someone saying, "Oh no, I did not read the
Honestly,
newsletter."
there's been two incidents where people have not read it, and it's literally we've just had to freelance it, or freewheel our way through it. But hopefully, you've glanced at some of these articles, and we can talk about them very briefly.
No, of course. So, of course, I read it, and two articles that were similar attracted my attention. They were both based on diversity, which seems to be quite a big topic right now. It has been for a while, but it was two major studies in the last newsletter that you sent. One was from Google. They do like a trend analysis, so they really go deep into the data side to really look at the history, the evolution, and how is it in Google in different countries. And I thought that was pretty interesting to go deeper than just, okay, we do diversity and that's it. And that they went really in a deeper measure, which we can also explore a little bit more. And the other one was from Arctic Choice, so more UK-based, but with also some interesting facts and points. So I thought they made a point on, let's say, so at some point they speak about the blind CV or the halo effect, which were concepts that are important to take in consideration. And I have quite strong opinions about those. And I feel like as a woman, they could also have those opinions.
I think so. I mean, if you've got a strong opinion, please do share it. So for people who don't know, Arctic Shores are a psychometric startup in the UK, and they do games-based assessments. They're one of the sponsors of Recruiting Brain Food, so they're big favorites of ours. And they obviously are using game-based assessments, I think, as a way to get better fit, but also to de-bias the recruiting process. So I think that's very intimate to their interests. But I'm interested in sort of at that point. Do you think sort of anonymization of CVs is a good idea? Would that solve some of the problems, do you think, Fanny?
Not at all. I
Oh,
think
yeah.
I'm quite against the blind CVs, because I think it's dehumanizing the whole thing and the whole idea behind it. I'm totally aware that we are all biased. Whatever we do, we have first impression. We cannot help it. Our brain is made that way, that whenever you meet someone, whenever you do something and you see a CV or you meet someone in person, you will have a first impression, of course. And this first impression is biased. It's biased either you have the impression that this person is a potential enemy, this person is a potential friend, it's a threat, it's a potential sexual partner. Also, it's one of the reflexes. Because of survival, we are made to survive in the end. So all our first impression and the bias are made of, are we going to survive? And is this person can be part of my crew or not? So this is a fact. We cannot do without it. But then going into the blind CV is taking all the personification out of it. I can understand the reason why, but I personally wouldn't enforce this. I think there are other ways.
And is there not a value? Is there not, sorry to interrupt, Fanny, but is there not a value in kicking the bias further down the road, though? Because let's say I'm biased in some way. Of course I am. I'm reading CVs as a way to assess people's suitability. I think in Switzerland also you put the photo on the CV as well, don't you? So there's also images there as well.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of bias layered on top of all. So all of the things you're talking about, this evolutionary psychology stuff, that's going to be applied there. And I just may be saying yes, no, very, very quickly to these documents. Whereas in fact, that will end up screening out a bunch of people that maybe are more susceptible to that bias for whatever reason. You know, maybe you have a population that are, you know, denigrated in the media, let's say. And subsequently, you know, people end up having negative feelings towards a certain group of people. We've got great examples, bad examples, if you like, but good examples in terms of demonstrating the effect of that throughout history. Would a blind CV not be good in that case? Because you'll be able to at least get these people to an interview. And if the person is still biased, then fair enough. But at the end of the day, you're getting them closer to the decision rather than just screaming them out on first pass.
Of course. And I'm being the devil's advocate here, obviously. Because, of course, it's important to take out all the biases as much as possible. I'm just afraid on the one side that anyway, this bias will happen at some point, maybe a bit later once you meet the person. This you cannot help. But it's the dehumanization that I'm a bit afraid of, most likely.
Sure.
But as you say, in Switzerland, we also have the picture, so we're far away from the blind CV, like very far away.
Yeah,
and one of the solutions is the AI, the usage of AI to screen the CV instead of having a human who is necessarily biased, then lets the machine do it. And the problem is that they did some experiments also. We have the Amazon case in mind.
Of course, yeah.
Which was in the end more biased and women discriminating the CV. So I think we're not there yet, but maybe there is a potential machine learning solution behind it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm very sympathetic basically to all of these assessment products because they're all trying to get mm-hmm. there, even though I think we can understand that we're on a journey there and it's going to be, we have to go with the journey and not necessarily be overly critical at this point. Okay, what else was interesting for you apart from those two research documents, which I've just shared in the chat stream, by the way, so if you want to check them out, please do. Anything else that was interesting for you, Fanny?
Sure. One thing that was a bit scary, if I can say, is the anatomy of work study as well. So that one of the biggest outcome of it is that we say the majority of employees' time, so 60% is spent of work about work.
Right.
So that's huge. It's 60% of the time. It's huge. And what is into work about work? And how can this be productive? And how can this be useful for an organization? And most importantly, and that's where I'm scared, is to what extent is it useful for our own value and meaning in life in what we do? If 60% of our time we are actually doing not nothing, but things that have maybe little impact on our environment.
You know what? That concept itself was enough for me to think that was a great bit of content, because If we kind of reflect on corporate life, there's so much that we do that is literally talking about what we do. And you can't really call it productive work. For instance, email management, you know, how much of that is like responding to these little tasks and interrupts that someone, you know, check this or do that. And it's like, you know, this is not actually what I should be doing. But it's sucking huge amounts of time. I mean, with these collaboration tools and communication tools, which I think was the core of that report, it's basically saying with new tech, it's actually generated more of this type of work. Because now that it's notification hell, right? So you get blasted by all of this stuff. So yeah, very interesting report by Asana. They're obviously going to push everyone to use Asana as the one interface that solves everything. It is a good product actually, but so go check it out, but with a pinch of salt. But I think that's a really good report that people should definitely pay some attention to. Okay, one more thing, Fanny. Sorry to interrupt you, go ahead.
Yeah, one thing that was interesting about these numbers is that it's double the time that people estimate, actually. So when you ask someone how long do you think you do work about work, they would say about 30% of their time, but in the end it's 60%. And so that's interesting. And the other thing that is, I'm jumping on what you just said, I think technology, of course, is not helping, but it can be a huge help when you think automation. So if you consider all your activities that you are doing repeatedly every day, it means, or every week or whatever, if you are doing something more than once, it means that you can automate it. And technology is here to help you automate whatever you're doing, answering emails, creating whatever task, whatever thing that you do twice, think on a way that you can automatize it.
All right, so we're definitely going to do a productivity show next year to talk about automation and how to get more efficient, because wow, recruiting and HR, I think they're, I mean, even marketing, they're three disciplines that I think are so repetitive, or at least contain so many repetitive tasks, that we could all probably get more efficient if we just learned one thing, like one trick to make this go faster. Wow, it'd be immense. Okay, anyway, that's all very interesting. We have one topic to talk about this week, and this is, of course, Facebook. And more precisely, how do we use Facebook ads? So we're not talking about sourcing. We're talking about using this database and this social network, should we say, using adverts on it and getting candidates. And this all stemmed actually from one of the posts from Recruiting Brain Food by Hootsuite, who basically listed like 13 different ad types that you could buy on Facebook. I didn't even know there were 13. I just straight away thought, you know what, I should do a show on this because I'm so far behind the curve, but people are lapping me already. Like, I had no idea how to do this. But you have a little bit more experience on Facebook ads, don't you, Fanny? Do you? I mean, I've just thrown you in there a little bit, but tell me what you know.
So, yes, Facebook. So here we speak about marketing in the end. So recruiting is so much about marketing, not only in the terms of what tool you use or what strategy, but also in terms of how do you write your content and how do you create your ads. Job ads are a certain kind of ads in the end. So this is all about marketing. And marketing, what is it? Is how do you target an audience? And so how do you target it? Where do you target it? And how much do you spend to target it? And Facebook is a huge tool in order to target the wide audience and to be able to be extremely specific in the audience that you're defining. And I think that's where there's so many experiments that can be done. I think it's not really about the format. This here you can really experiment the different carousel ads or video ads or whatever ads. There are like so many, and Facebook will continue optimizing their formats while they optimize their products. But it's more about how are you able to define your audience and to really get into a granular definition of this specific audience. And that's, I think, where the biggest interest is.
All right, so that's the first key point, which is there are 13. I think somebody even said there was more than 13. Like, there's always going to be unlimited amount of ads products you can buy. But forget about that for the time being. What's more important is actually the segmentation of the audience. In other words, how do you actually figure out, how do you target the people? How do you do all of this? So yeah, I mean, what are the pointers? Like, there's an interface, isn't there? There's essentially, everyone's used to Facebook as a user, but do you do it from a user profile, or do you need to do it from a company profile or something like that?
Yeah, of course. So Facebook is has its own Facebook Ads Manager, so right. You can access to this interface, which is very easy to use and quite intuitive. It shows you step by step how to create your ad. So basically, you have to have the content of your ads ready. So visual, of course, a good image is always important.
Sorry,
a good image is important.
Yeah, there's just like police sirens running out. I don't know whether you can pick that up, but basically, there's probably an emergency outside my place. Doesn't matter. Keep going. Unless there's a fire and I have to run out, we're going to continue.
I'll continue. Don't worry.
Continue with my dead body. That's it. You just keep going. That's right.
That's the spirit.
Yeah.
So important to have very good content, meaning a good image that will catch the attention, obviously. So forget about shutter stock image that will always, our brain now is capable of just like spamming out all kind of commercial advertisement. So make sure that you have a specific unique image, unique way of creating your text, your little text. You are limited in size, so you cannot like just write on and on. You can just write your entire job description. So you have to write hooks, how we say. So how can you hook your audience? If you're speaking to an engineer, for example, maybe you will have a different hook than if you're speaking to a machinist or someone working in an office or in the street, whatever. So define your hook and your images according to your targets. And this is all set in the Facebook Ad Manager on the back. So it's super, super easy.
Right. So let me stop you there. So number one, basically, there's a Facebook Ad Manager. You can access this sort of in your user profile. Anybody can post an ad, anybody can push this ad. I'm going at it from a complete
anybody who is ready to pay. Yeah, anybody
who is
ready to pay, you can do it. You can
right, do it. Right. So I'm not even, I would actually be prepared to do this live, but I'm obviously live streaming into the Recruiting Brain Food Facebook group right now. And I don't want to just cut that live stream off. So I'll do that immediately after we finish, just to test it, right? So basically, there's an ad manager, you click on it, you can then define the ad that you want, probably select the options that you've got, and then you need to segment the audience, and then what happens?
So you define several things, you'll see there are several steps to define. One thing that is interesting to target is the location. So let's say you're a small company, and I'm taking a Swiss example, so around Geneva, you know that it's a work shift that is quite intense, that you work day and night, or that you finish working at 2 in the morning because you're in the restoration, let's say.
Yeah.
You probably want to aim for people who don't live too far away. So you will target your ad in a certain area, meaning that if I'm in Geneva or 20 kilometers away, I will see the ads. If I'm further away, I will not see the ads. Why is it interesting? Is because, as you probably know, the way you pay is only when people click ads. It's like on Google, let's say. So you will only pay on performance.
Okay, so let me just stop you there. So if I see it somewhere and I don't click, so I'm a consumer, I see an ad somewhere, I do not click, I've not incurred a cost for the person who posted
it. It depends. It will depend because you can define either impression. So their impression means the number of times it will appear. And then it's more for branding effect. So you want your brand or your company logo or whatever to be the most visible, but you don't pay as much attention on the traffic or on the performance. So that's that. There you paid on the impression and not on the performance. Or you say, I'm paying on the click.
Oh, so you have some sort of choice. Rahul has just stepped in and say you do pay on impressions, which is quite interesting. But I presume that's like a micro amount, right? Because if you're going to send it to like 10,000 people, you can't be spending £10,000 on just an impression, on a bunch of impressions. Is it like basically you can set a daily budget? Is that how it works? And it just stops if you go, so you don't go over the budget and completely destroy yourself if it goes viral or something?
Yeah, of course. So you set either a daily budget or a total amount all
for
in
the
all.
Campaign.
So you say, okay, I'm putting 200 pounds or something, and then it's done. But then maybe if your targeting is not too good, then maybe it's just burned in like an hour. What you don't want is to burn your money to the wrong target group. If you are hiring, for example, a waiter for a restaurant, and you only have a builder that are clicking on your ad, there is no interest for you. So you would rather want to refine your targeting.
That's really interesting. Frank Zupan and Lee Candiotti, thank you for sharing your comments on there. Please do continue sharing the links and comments. Two of our friends here in the US are raising some very important ethical and legal issues associated with targeting, micro-targeting, and so on. We definitely want to dive into those topics, so please do continue to chat on the live stream. For the time being, though, we want to talk about the mechanics of doing this. How do you do it effectively? So, Fanny, thank you so much for giving us an overview on how that works. We've got a bunch of other people that also know what they're doing. I see Adam Chambers is on there as well. We might bring you on screen a bit later, Adam. But first, I'm going to try and bring on two Dutch guys, actually. Why not? They're both called Yelmer, rather confusingly, but they are both great guys. And they are recruitment marketers. So I think they're recruitment marketers, recruitment product marketers. So people, I think, who have got a really good experience as a specialist in this function. So I think a lot of recruitment folks have probably tried Facebook ads, but they've been amateurish, kind of like me. Then they probably asked marketing pros like you and said, "Hey, Fanny, help me out. You do it." And you probably give that kind of helicopter overview. Two gents, I'm quite keen to see their view. Yelmer, great to see you. There's another Yelmer. Great to see you as well. is there like a union of Yelmers in the Netherlands? Do you hang out and make sure that you have a group or something?
Yeah, the biggest issue that we also hang out a lot together. So when we introduce each other, it's a quite difficult situation. I normally call him Tim or Yelmer 2, but...
Yelmer 2, that's a great way to
put in different names, but it doesn't always work.
Great way to establish the hierarchy there, Yelmer. I really like it.
I'm older, so...
Yeah, that's it. We'll go with the age. And we've actually lost Yelmer a couple months there anyway, but he's back.
He's back.
That's great. I'm just going to share your LinkedIn. Yelmer Kupperman, do you mind sharing your LinkedIn as well in the chat stream? People might want to connect with you guys sort of after we've done this talk. But firstly, Yelmer Zoudema, can you kind of, I hope I pronounced your name okay. I've been practicing, man. Can you give us an overview of the sort of work you do? Because I think it's quite an interesting thing. You've featured on Recruiting Brain Food as a content writer before because of some really interesting stuff you produce. So I wonder whether you could tell the audience what kind of work it is that you do within the recruiting profession.
Yes, of course. I have a strong background in communications, and that's always visible in my articles. I grew up with recruitment advertising. I worked at Wondekind in recruitment advertising. Technology. Recently started doing things for my own with Road Trip, where I support companies with the digital transformation in recruitment. Basically, I'm making sure the recruitment can use all the marketing tools for their own efforts and do that as efficient as possible. I help companies track their current performance and improve it by increasing the adoption of the tools or by implementing new tools. So Fanny already mentioned that automation will make your work more efficient, and I totally agree with that. I think automation can help us get rid of all the dull tasks and make sure you can focus on the more important stuff.
Yeah, fantastic. Yelmer 2, I'm going to call you Yelmer 2 from now on. Yelmer
Kopman.
I hope that's okay. Can you just quickly introduce yourself as well? Yelmer 1's just done this, so it'd be good for the audience to know a little bit about you.
Definitely. I'm super happy to join. I'm a big fan of the Brain Food. So my first name is indeed the same as the other guy. That's actually a coincidence. We are good friends, but we're not related. So the last couple of years, I've been working on the marketing automation for marketing, so also technical perspective, from a data perspective. I do this on a daily basis.
Okay, so I kind of lost you a little bit there. Oh, I think we're struggling with internet there, aren't we? A little bit with Yoma too. That's okay. Let's hope he can come back. But we're talking about recruitment marketing. And I think that is kind of a subset of recruitment that I think is really exciting because it seems to be a function that I would say a traditional 360 recruiter is probably not particularly skilled or capable of doing. And I just want to explore with the context of Facebook ads, like what is it that recruiters generally are not doing with Facebook ads that you think obviously they should be doing? Yelma, one, I'm going to go with you on this as you heard the question.
I think that the most important thing that people always forget is that not the how is the most important question, but the why. Why are you advertising on Facebook and why are you advertising overall? In the Hootsuite article, it's typically explained how to do it and how to set it up and how to make it work, but not why you should do it and what should be your reason. I think that a lot of people rush into advertising and see it as a last resort or a helpful step. But I think that if you don't know why you are running ads, you lose money on a big scale. It's more important to know what your KPIs are and what your goals are and how you're going to ace those goals instead of just spending money.
Right. So let's look at the why. I mean, from I would imagine taking the kind of the perspective of some of the recruiters viewing the show and listening to it on the podcast, they may just say, hey, Yelma, I get it. But you know what? The why is I need to recruit people. You know, that's the why, bro. I need to do this. How would you respond to that? Is that as far as it needs to go, or am I missing something?
I think that with all advertising, you have different goals, and I think that Facebook doesn't necessarily have a goal to bring you candidates or not to bring you direct applicants. There are multiple layers in advertising. I think the first layer that's typical why you use Facebook is branding. It's a medium where a lot of people are on, like over 2 billion people on a monthly use, monthly basis.
Day.
Of course. So I think that it's perfectly suited for branding, but for the most jobs, it won't necessarily give you direct applications. It's a process, it's a funnel that you have to get candidates through. So every step is evenly important in that process. So I would say... The why is more getting the attention of people and getting them into the funnel to convert them than directly transform to candidates.
What happens most of the time is that once you are on Facebook, you're not in a looking for a job mode as a candidate. And so your behavior is not like, okay, I'm here to apply and to spend some time on an application. So that's why you can attract the attention first, because and maybe react, like create or generate some reaction on, oh, that's interesting, I did not consider this. So like bring the awareness. That's where I joined Delmer on the awareness branding part. Some of them will maybe start an application, and that's when it becomes interesting, because then you can re-engage them afterwards and retarget them. So we go into retargeting, which is you tell them afterwards, hey, don't forget, you have started an application, finish it now. And that's a journey that starts, and it's good to start a journey on Facebook.
Okay, so this is a really important point. I'm kind of discovering, of course, no one goes to Facebook to do job search, right? This is not why you open the damn thing up. In fact, I don't even know how to search for a job there. You go on there because you want to check up on your friends. You want to troll some enemies. You want to do those types of things, those horrible things that Frank and Lee are horrified by. Yeah, you're going to want to do that on Facebook. However, a company that's smart might say, okay, this person is engaged here in something, but maybe I can put my brand in front of them in some way and get that person interested in what I'm doing. And then potentially you've got a chance to develop the relationship with that person, particularly if they then go on to click something. Now that's a really important point. So it's sending a job ad out presumably is ineffective, I guess. Or is that right? I mean, would you advise against just pushing a job and saying apply?
I don't think I would advise against it. I think that it should be part of the mix. I think that you can push ads, but I think that it's more reasonable to do it with an engaged audience. And if, like Fanny says, you have an engaged audience, you can retarget them. For instance, if you get like over 100 people on one job a month, you can set up the retargeting pixel on the website that you can re-engage with those people.
Okay. So for the people who don't understand, can one of you please explain what retargeting is? Yelmatu, if you want to give that a shot?
Sure, definitely. So we know that conversion on first visit is very limited. So it's only 2% roughly of people who see the ad, click on it, and land on the landing page for the first time would actually convert. So there you need to find a way to re-engage those people. And this is where retargeting comes in. So let's say I'm a candidate and I see a job ad or an employer branding ad and I click it and I land on the landing page of a customer or like an employer, I mean.
Oh, to interrupt you, Yelmatu, when you land, I'm leaving the Facebook experience, correct?
You click
off the platform.
You click the ad and you click off and you land on like the career side or vacancy even. So what would then happen is there would be somewhat of tracking there. Facebook pixel, and they would capture your kind of visit. And from the advertising perspective, you're able to re-engage with those people. So you'll be able to show them ads, and you know that those people visited your career site before.
Okay, so just to explain what a Facebook pixel is, I understand that as you basically put something into the browser, and you can then you can basically present your brand wherever that person is using that browser, not only on Facebook, correct?
Not really. What it is actually, it's a small piece of code which you put in your career site, and it allows Facebook to know who visits your career site. And also they know, of course, you're logged into Facebook almost everywhere, so they know who actually lands on your on the career site, and you can very specifically target them based on the traffic that you generate.
Yeah. Okay. So on this, let's develop this. You've got a candidate. He's seen an ad on Facebook. He's clicked it. He's landed onto your career site. You've tracked it because you can understand where he is. You've got to follow that up with something. What do? You do that on Facebook again. You go back to Ad Manager and hit him with a second ad or something. What happens?
That's definitely a possibility. There's a, like, you can do this very much automated. Just come back to that topic recently discussed. But Facebook is much more bigger than just Facebook, because Facebook's also, of course, Instagram. So you can use their entire like platform basically to re-engage with people. In a very ideal setup, you would show some branding at first, or you would get them engaged, you would get them enthusiastic about the brand that you are promoting, and then afterwards you'd be able to like get them through the funnel. So you might be able to show them ads for a specific team, or why it's awesome to work in the IT team of a company. And afterwards, you maybe even show them a vacancy.
I got it. So you, actually, of course, the Facebook family is more than just Facebook. It's WhatsApp, which is a huge messaging service. It's Instagram as well. I may opt to take this person and maybe do a video on Instagram on them. And then once he or she's clicked on that, I might then send a message via WhatsApp or something. I don't know. But you're basically doing multi-channel communication and brand building as one of the kind of ideas behind this effort.
That's what is important when you do marketing, and if you want to have a branding impact, it's important to be able to repeat the message and to repeat the brand visual as much as possible on different touch points.
Yep.
That's when you will have the biggest impact. But one thing you're also mentioning here is, for example, Instagram. Instagram is a mobile only. Or mostly only platform, which means that if you want to drive people anywhere, it means your platform has to be mobile and responsive, mobile adapted, and which is, in at least in Switzerland, 90% of the websites are not yet that optimized. The landing page most likely are, So the first landing page you land on, they are mobile optimized. But then when you go into the process, into their like any e-commerce funnel, even if it's like application funnel, it's a total disaster. And try to apply on a mobile when the funnel is not adapted and not responsive, you'll lose like 99% of the candidates.
You make a very good point here, I guess, because the people you're reaching are also a little bit different. As I mentioned before, you don't go to Facebook to search for a job, or not specifically just for that. So you need to be aware of the fact that candidates or the people that click your ad are in a whatever different mindset. You need to engage them in a more easy way, more low threshold, and not entirely long, like 16 forms, application forms.
I've heard several times recruiters say, well, if the funnel and the forms is really long, then I can test if the candidate is really motivated. And I always answer, well, do you want the most motivated people or the most desperate?
I think that's a really good point to raise. I think that is not about motivation. It's also about timing. The moment when that people are on their mobile phone and using Instagram, they are in the tram, they are with the parents, they have a dull moment and they try to scroll to their timeline and they don't have necessarily the resume available. They don't have, their motivation, letter of motivation available. So it's also about timing and not only about motivation. I always try to laugh about that kind of reasoning.
Yeah, so basically, the more I hear about this, Facebook ads generally is very, very good for brand building, great for tracking people who have already established some sort of interest, but it's actually quite a long journey. It's nothing at all like posting a job on a job board, where literally you're saying, okay, the only people looking at that are going to be actively motivated job seekers, and then in comes a bunch of applications. Let's move this to the point where there are going to be applications. Like, is there, so I'm building all of these relationships. This person has literally clicked on everything I've sent them through various things. At what point is it appropriate for me to deploy an invitation to something? Or is it a case, you know, I got to get him into a group, or do I, you know, how do I move this person from, let's say, an interesting prospect to someone who's actually now prepared to be involved in the recruiting process? Yelma won. Sorry, terrible moderation by me asking a group.
No worries.
Yelma won. Let's give you a shot on this.
I think there are a lot of options to do that, and there are also a lot of fun options. The most easy one is just to send them over a form and to have them fill it in. I think that you can also invite them to an event that you host, an open day or something. Try to interact with them on a more easygoing way, because you also interact with him. At first, in an easygoing way, you interact with him on a platform he uses for his private time, his private space. So I don't think that you can force him to an interview or something, or force him to a call, but you can always just politely send out some stuff and try to invite him.
So go ahead, Fanny.
One thing that social media is allowing, and also it goes back to this tone to have on social media, to maybe be a bit lighter, because you may be talking to someone while he's on the train or at home scrolling on his couch. But it's about conversational marketing, so getting into a conversation through different chat possibilities, messengers or WhatsApp or whatever, and even to automate this with bots. And it's not, I don't see this as necessarily taking out the human function out of it, but just to be able to engage in a more one-to-one dynamism on this. And this is a huge opportunity as well. Instead of going from you read an ad and you go to an interview, there is an in-between, and social media is allowing this in-between.
Yeah, you made a very good point, because I just said, hey, listen, what if I'm super successful? I'm getting a bunch of engagement out there. I'll be spending all my time on Facebook giving people chats. I don't have the time for it. But you're saying maybe you can put a bot in there that can help. And I think it's quite easy to create a Facebook bot, isn't it, these days? It's not like difficult to do technically, even though, I don't know anything about it. But presumably it's not a difficult thing to do. One thing that I'm getting from all of this, though, is that there are a lot of kind of moving parts to this. So I'm beginning to understand why a lot of recruiters are interested in the idea of using Facebook ads, but perhaps a little bit frightened by it, because it seems like a very different experience to what recruiters are typically used to, which is, of course, just posting a job. Now, what is the lowest entry point? So I've got an interested listener or a viewer right now. They're going to give this a shot. They don't have the ability to learn and do everything best practice, but they want to try. What's the easiest thing that they could do to say, right, here's an experiment on a Facebook ad that they're trying to recruit some candidates? Yelma, too, you want to go for it?
So actually just using the business manager. So Facebook has this ads manager that you can use. It's not that complicated in a way that like Facebook guides you through the process. There are, of course, companies who can help you with this. So I work at a company who does this. But just getting your ad out of the door is actually not that complicated. You can use just like your own iPhone to create a video of candidates sharing how awesome it is to work at a company and just post that in your like for your target audience. That's actually quite straightforward. So I don't think it's that daunting to do this. It's just a matter of getting it, trying it, and experimenting.
Right. Okay. So
and tracking. Let's also add the tracking part, which is huge. And I think if there is one thing that will be big for recruitment next year in 2020, will be getting better at tracking.
What do you mean add the tracking? That frightens the hell out of me. Like I was listening to Yelma one. And I'm thinking, right, I'm going to shoot a video now and just post an ad. Well, what additional stuff do I need to do to add track? I thought it was just track. It would be track for me, won't it?
This is why I try to explain. Why are you advertising? You want to know
exactly
which people are on your website and what they are doing. What are they looking at?
So the tracking on the website, basically, you're saying. So off platform, you need to have the tracking nailed on the website because there's no point driving traffic to it. Because there's a 2% conversion we've already established. People are going to bounce off whatever they encounter. Very, very good. All right, that's really, really interesting. There's a guy, I forget who it is that said this, Vartika has said something quite interesting. You can also use sponsored Facebook job postings instead of regular ads to create candidate funnel. Does anybody know what that means? Yep, Yelma, too, you nodded there. Do you want to tell?
Yeah, Luke has their own. They've been working on it.
Oh.
Oops, that's connection.
Try again.
Facebook has their own job board, jobs on Facebook. It's something that in Europe is not getting as much traction as possible. But in the States, it's a little bit bigger. So there you can allow, you're just able to create a job posting basically on their job board. And it's quite easy to sponsor it. So you just give it some budget, basically, and then Facebook will try to determine which people to show the ad to.
Yeah,
the opportunity there is quite limited. So the way you can target is not that specific.
Mm-hmm.
They are developing this last. There's been some recent improvements there, but it's not yet at the level of the Facebook Business Manager itself. So for now, the targeting is not that great.
Yeah. So this strikes me as similar to me just writing a post and then like pressing something to say promote it or something. Because you can do that on just a normal post, can't you? Rather than do, do you know what I'm talking about? It's like on the news feed or something. Forgive me for not having the technical precision on the terminology here. Because generally speaking, I'm not lying when I say I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, the process is the same. It's just a different format.
Explain that, Yelma one.
The Facebook job posting or the Facebook job format is a format that's specifically made for jobs. I was surprised it wasn't in the Hootsuite article.
Yeah,
it's a format where you can, which is made for a job. So there's a title where you can put in a job title, then image where you can show the environment you're going to work at. And when you click through, you end up on a small job description.
Yeah, got it.
And one of the
one
of the biggest differences is also on the call to action. So instead of like buy now, or visit now, whatever, it's apply now. So it's really based on application.
Yeah, cool. And this is what Vartika was talking about. Let's get back to recruiting. You know, the bodies into the funnel, so to speak. And this may be a kind of a cruder way of trying to do that.
There's a very interesting thing about these job ads, actually, is that the conversion happens on Facebook. So you click this ad as a candidate, and actually all your information is already pre-filled. So you don't leave the Facebook network, which is candidates, but sometimes a little bit tricky for recruiters, because you either need to set up some kind of integration with Facebook and your own ATS, or you need to have two ATSs, like the Facebook one and your own.
I think this is what Rahul was talking about here, in the sense that it's useful, but you know what? You're not going to collect all the value of getting people to your site, which is where you can control the property. Okay,
that's cool. Why it will get big. It will. I just finish on this. It will be big for SMEs, so small and medium companies, because they probably don't have their own ATS, most likely. So they can use Facebook ATS, and also the Facebook audience is more, let's say, blue collars than for example on other, like for example, LinkedIn doesn't have the same audience than Facebook, and depending on who you want to target, it will also be better for SMEs.
You know, Facebook ADS, I didn't even realize that was there. I tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna commission someone to do a mind map of all of the Facebook assets that are out there, because I think I need this, and I suspect the rest of the Brain Food community needs it as well. Like, it's a complicated universe, isn't it? Everyone's used to Facebook in a sense. We're all users of it. We see the interface. But behind the scenes, there's all these kinds of different services and products for the business side that we're not familiar with at all. I need someone to draw one pager on this. The Yelmers.
We haven't even spoke about the Facebook audience network, which is also incredibly big.
Okay, very quickly, because I'm conscious of time and I want to bring on a couple more guests. So Yelmer 1, can you just explain Facebook audience network?
You have Facebook and you have all the Facebook products. But besides that, Facebook also has a lot of ad slots on different websites and in apps. So the most popular one is in Tinder. So when you're swiping to Tinder, you will see an ad, and you can also post your jobs on those ads. It's extremely huge, and it's comparable with the Google Ads network, the Google Display network.
Got it. Because obviously people are signing in with sort of Facebook ID, aren't they, on a lot of these sites? And every time you do that, presumably that's an advertising opportunity, that area. Okay, great. Yelmer 2, I want to ask you a final question on this before I let you go. What is the kind of one tip that you would give to a recruiter thinking about using Facebook ads next week? One thing this person has got to get right before they even think about it.
I would definitely suggest indeed understanding why you do this, but also the tracking part. So you want to understand where your money goes to and what the ROI is. So the tracking, I would definitely say, make sure you fix that before you even spend a cent on Facebook ads.
Very, very good. Okay, listen, the two Yelmers, thank you very much for your time. I know it's late for you guys in the Netherlands. By the way, I'm going to be in Utrecht next week. And also, are you guys in Utrecht? I've got it. Are you? Yeah. Oh, wow. Maybe we can meet up. I have no idea. But I'll be there for a couple of days for the OnRecruit event. If you're there, I'll see you there, of course. So thank you both for joining. I need to learn a lot more about this entire thing. I think the audience does as well. So thank you both for sharing your knowledge with us. Have a good weekend. We'll definitely bring you back at another time for this show.
Thank you, sir.
Great.
Bye, guys.
Take care.
Bye.
They were nice guys, weren't they?
They were definitely nice. Two Yelmers.
Do you not think? I thought they were really nice. And they had so much more to say as well, because I think at least one of them is now working full-time, more or less active with a company activating employers in this area. So that might be an interesting business for me to operate with. Lee Candiotti, just to respond to Lee's point there, doing the Facebook ads experiment, I'm totally up for doing that, because I do think that I might use Facebook ads for recruiting Brain Food, actually. Because one of the things that's true is that we've grown really well in terms of subscriber base, subscriber numbers, and so on. We're nearly at 19,000, by the way, so we're doing great. But it's all through word of mouth. Like, literally, there's been zero marketing spent at all on recruiting Brain Food. And whilst I'm obviously very happy with that, and people seem to love the newsletter and everything, I am also thinking, you know what, it would be really cool to potentially expand the reach of it, because we have lots of people that don't know it. There's about 2 million recruiters on the planet.
I told you the other day, there is a huge potential to grow. And Wim is saying Brain Food Party for 100,000 subscribers. I think we can definitely aim for this in the coming years, just by having a smart and lean strategy.
Yeah, well, 100,000, I think, is such a stretch goal. I think it's possible we'll top out at like 50K. But that's going to need marketing support. It's going to need you on staff, Fanny, I think. I don't think I could afford your rate. Anyway, here's Andrew Bryce. Andrew, how are you doing? Thanks for hanging on, by the way, Andrew. I know you've been really patient watching the show. Andrew, for the people who don't know you, can you just quickly introduce yourself and what do you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on board. I'm Andrew. I'm the CEO of 60 Seconds. We do automated videos for your everyday content that will go onto Facebook and go inside your ads. So we take everyday content like jobs. So we'll get your job title, salary, location, and then we'll put together a brand aligned video that can go out onto social media and then collect the job applicants straight away. We do this as part of different funnels. Now we're working with chatbots to then pre-screen the applicants as and when they come in. So we're doing more than just the images that you're putting out into ads. We're making sure all the information's there and readily available. And it only takes 60 seconds to create the content.
Very quickly, Andrew, I've heard some stats on the impact of video versus static image. I mean, what is the conversion rate between the two of those formats?
Absolutely. So when you're going out with the static content, your click-through rate is typically around 1%. Well, that's what you're aiming for. When you're going out with the video, it's more 6 to 8%. So I'd say it's 700 times better than a static content.
Wow, that's massive. That's really massive. Basically, having heard a bit of that show, we talked about, hey, listen, it's about brand building to begin with. It's about getting people engaged in some way, maybe dropping them into a property you control, namely your website. And then that gives you a little bit more understanding as to what they're all about. I imagine your kind of business has emerged because companies have really struggled to do that natively. Like they just, yes, we want to do it. We don't know how, we don't have the time, don't have the skills. What sort of customers are you seeing coming to your business, Andrew, for the using Facebook ads for the recruiting purpose?
It's a mixture. We've got, I'd say, 50, 60 man recruitment companies that are doing stuff, mainly in the blue collar space. Right. And then you've got all the way up to the top 1% of the recruitment industry trying to divert away from job boards and then come and find the passive market on LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram but they struggle because the content creation part is so expensive and it takes a lot, and they've only got limited marketing resource to be able to do it. What our system does is keep aligned the whole brand with everything that they do as a business, so that your recruiters can make video content rather than just being put up to a marketing team to do it.
Yeah, perfect. So this is essentially the audience that you are, the sort of the customers you deal with are actually recruitment agencies that typically recruit at high volume, because obviously agencies aggregate a lot of the demand out there for blue collar, because that fits into with the Facebook demographic. And not to say Facebook's entirely blue collar, but we know that blue collar folks typically are not on LinkedIn. So this may be the primary place where they would go. And you've got a platform which helps these recruiters to very quickly produce the content.
Yeah, absolutely. It's as simple as going in and putting the job title, the salary, location, and we connect you up with 300 million pre-recorded assets that you can put into the background to then go for that job. So you can have a HGV going down the road with, are you a HGV driver, as the job title? And then that will go out to a large audience in a certain radius of where they're recruiting, and then it'll bring them in.
Have you ever done any testing in terms of kind of A/B testing in the content of the video you're using, like women, color of hair, etc.?
Well, it's a really good question, because when you go out with a video, you've traditionally spent all your budget on getting that one video done. So you've not got the flexibility of actually split testing anything. However, with our platform, you've got the ability to quickly mock up 5 different videos and go out and then put the the budget in the one that performs better, because you just don't know at the end of the day what is going to work. So you can, we give you the ability to do that, no problem at all.
All right, let's talk numbers here, Andrew, because I think a lot of people watching or listening to this might just be thinking, wow, this guy's business might give me the turnkey solution for me to get activated on Facebook ads. What are we talking about in terms of price? I want to run a job to an audience of 10,000 people. Like, how much will that cost me?
Okay, so cost per 1,000 on Facebook depends on the audience size you're going out with. And let's say we've got an audience of 50 to 100,000 people in a certain area that you're recruiting. Your cost per 1,000 metric is probably looking at somewhere between £8 and £15 per 1,000 people to hit. And then you know how many applications quite quickly what you get off the back of 1,000 impressions. It's like making 1,000 cold calls. You know how many people that you're going to be able to talk to, how many you'll be able to get in. Exactly the same science is scalable in terms of, we're going to go out to 10,000 people. I'm confident I'll be able to get 4 applications per 1,000. You then know what you're going to get off the back of that.
Yeah, so this sounds like very reasonable. So you're saying I can come onto your platform, a budget for like 15 quid, but I also need to pay you, right? Like, how much are you charging to for me to use the service and to get the video assets in and all that? That doesn't come for free. So what is it for me to what's the full cost for me to do this experiment for 1,000 people?
Absolutely. So we try and make it as cost effective as possible to get into the video scene. So what we're doing, it starts from £49 a month. You'll get 5 videos. If you want, I think it's 20 videos, it's 170 quid a month, and you can have your whole team on there making videos. So however many videos you want, that increases the subscription. For us to then run and manage your campaigns, we charge 40% of ad spend. So if you're going out with £1,000, our fee for us is our subscription plus 1,400 quid to be able to run that ad for that month.
Yeah, I'm in there, Andrew. You might have got a customer here. I'm totally interested in trying this. Not to say I've got tons of money, as Fabi knows. What I'm trying to say is, you know what? I need to know more about this entire thing. And I'm the type of person that can't know by learning, by reading it. I'm an experiential learner. I need to go in there, burn my cash a bit, and then see what's going on.
And that's something maybe to add on what you just said, and that would be an advice I give to all the audience here, is just do and try out. Like, learning by doing is the best way to do Facebook ads and to do all of this. And just put your hand in it, try this out. As long as you set yourself a minimum budget per day, you will not burn anything. So try it out, really.
I think it's a great bit of advice, Fanny. Thank you for sharing that. I'm definitely going to do this. So Andrew, a couple more questions for you before we let you go, because we know it's late in the day. But in terms of so you're selling into the recruitment agency market, which firstly I was surprised by, but now that you explain what it is that you do, I'm much more understanding as to why this would be very, very valuable for that particular market, because they are very skinny when it comes to marketing. Having been a recruitment agent, I know literally marketing's like the last person you hire. You just hire another recruiter, right? So I can totally understand why you support this. Do you have any ambition to get into the in-house market, or do you see them as two totally different segments actually? And you know, where you're going to need a different value prop and a different sort of business operating model to effectively service either of those?
Yeah, it's definitely somewhere where we want to go. Now we've got this method that works for the recruitment space, we definitely want to go into the in-house space. And it gets really interesting, because we would go in with a film production crew, film with them for 2-3 days, come up with hundreds and hundreds of clips that you can use in the background that would give all the candidates an insight to what it's actually like to work for the company. Mm-hmm. We can then use this to fuel the content for all the funnel. And then when you use video as opposed to static imagery, it unlocks a new level of analytics that says how engaged they are with your content. So you can say, if they watch 50% of the video, target them with this piece of content. If they watch 100% of the video, they're high ready to send them a job advert. And I think that's the interesting part that no one's really latched onto, because video is so expensive.
That's a really good point. Like, the time on the screen, like how long are they actually watching this thing? So you can actually determine with some degree of confidence this person is totally up for it. Okay, cool.
That's one thing that, to jump on this quickly, is that here we talk about not employer branding but recruiter branding, which is really about marketing, because you need to catch the attention to right away be the one standing out. So sometimes it will not be exactly how it is to work for this company that will be shown in the video or in the image or whatever, maybe here in the video, but it has to have a catch. And then what you, the story you tell afterwards, once you've caught the attention, the story you tell behind it needs to be authentic. And then you can start to do some real employer branding. So it's like some kind of a two phases dynamic, if I can say.
Yeah, there's a case study on our website where we did River Island. So we went in and did a 90-second work for us video. We then broke that down to 12 category videos per department that they work for. And then anyone who engaged with the first video went to the second video. And depending on which category they, which department they spent the most time viewing, we'd then send them a subsequent job advert thereafter. I think one of my team might be able to put a link to the case study in the comments there.
Yeah, please do share that link. I mean, essentially, we're going to do more with the chat stream content, actually, because one of the things that people aren't aware of is that we're going to try and improve the content support around the Brainfood Live. So we're going to start blogging about sort of after every episode, and the content that's been shared in the chat stream will be imported into that blog. So hopefully everyone will have an asset they can read and keep hold of rather than just listening to us, which are on. Final thing before I let you go, Andrew, what are the top three things you got to remember when you're producing a video on Facebook? So you've got, let's say, everyone's listening to this and they're thinking, you know what, I really love this 60 seconds videos thing. It's in my budget, but it could be, hey, listen, I've had a bad month. I've got no budget. I've got to do it myself. How would you advise that person to produce a DIY video that you think might work on Facebook?
Yeah, I mean, your phone is fantastic to be able to do it. But the biggest thing is make sure you've got a great mic, because if you've not got a good mic, then it's worse than having bad video. Bad audio is worse than having bad video. So I'd definitely say invest in a lapel mic or something like that if you're going to produce an advert for a job. And make sure that the content you're putting out is brand aligned, because you don't want it to be taken down after putting all that effort into making that video.
Yeah, so basically, one thing's really interesting there. You're saying a video without audio is not going to happen. That doesn't work. You need to give voiceover or something. Is that right? Or
so the ads that we do, we just put some music in the background, or mostly it's played out without any audio whatsoever, because people are just watching it on their commute or they're scrolling through and there's no sound. Mm-hmm. So we put all the information straight front and center. And then they see it in the first 3 seconds. It says, are you a HGV driver? If they carry on past that point, they've qualified themselves as a HGV driver. But if you're doing the I'm talking about this job kind of video on your phone, you want to promote that, then I would say that that's where you really need to invest in the audio side of things.
Right.
If you're going to be doing that.
Yeah, if you do an employer brand video, you've got a bunch of your employees to say, hey, listen, I want you to shoot an authentic video. They can't be doing it purely on a mobile phone. They need to have a lapel mic or something like that to make sure that they've captured the voice properly.
Absolutely. You could invest, I think it's £75 in a gimbal for your phone. You can walk through the office and it looks like you're floating. You can stick that in the back of any of our adverts and then it makes it look professional and brand aligned, no problem at all, for very low cost.
Yeah, okay. So the people that aren't in AV, can you explain what a gimbal is, man?
Yeah, sorry. So it's something you hold like that, and then it will balance your phone at the top, and wherever you go, it will keep the phone nice and still. So you can walk through the office and capture a 10-second clip, upload that into our platform, and stick that into the back of one of your videos, and you're ready to go.
Got it. That sounds amazing. Okay, Andrew, listen, you've been fantastic. Great to have a very quick overview of your business, and I'm really pleased to see UK businesses and UK agencies really embrace this. Because I think the recruitment agency market typically is not a fast adopter, is not an early adopter, but they're a fast adopter. So in other words, you know, they're not the first to the party, but when they're at the party, they'll drink all the booze. So I'm pleased they're getting in there. I'm definitely interested. I want to try something on recruiting Brainfood on this. So I'll be dropping your line on that shortly, Andrew. Maybe we can work together in a different way. Okay, thanks, Andrew, man. Great to see you. Have a good weekend. We'll catch you some other time.
Lovely. Thanks, Hank. Thanks again.
Bye. Thank you.
What another nice guy. I tell you what, I'm learning loads here. We've still got like 35 people watching this. So it's still a case where I think we're getting a lot of juice from this particular apple. But having said all that, we are kind of coming.
Wrap up.
Yeah, we're coming to the end of the show. Any last thoughts on Facebook advertising as a final thing to say, Fanny?
More as a wrap up, the different thing I would say is, first of all, do your testing, go in it, test out, just like do your own kitchen and recipe in it. This is only good can happen in the end. So as long as you are legal and you use good language, it's all good. The second of the thing is track what you do. By tracking, it's a word that is a bit demonized, but it just means look at the results, look at what is driving, look at the engagement, look at the like, the non-like, the subscription and the subscription, etc. It's not that complicated and it can really solve a lot of problems. And a third thing is visuals. Video is performing, video is very good, but it has to be authentic as well. Don't buy like ready-made video because it will not look like you and it will not support, it will not make help you stand out. So be yourself, be authentic, try to show the reality, even though you need to hook people and to stand out. But standing out today doesn't mean to be perfect. On the contrary, it also means to be true.
Yeah, I'm really pleased you finished with that line, because Brain Food Live is far from perfect, but it is very true. Okay. By the way, Frank and Lee, thank you for your comments. You've actually encouraged me to think about another potential Facebook ad show, which we should do and actually invite you guys on, because we should talk about the ethics of it. I've realized we weren't able to quite have that conversation because this particular show is very much about the mechanics of how this is done. But now that we know how it's done a little bit, I think we should certainly explore, whether it should be done. And what are the ethical implications of doing some of this type of work? So Frank and Lee, if you're up for joining us for a future show on that, please do let me know. Okay, listen, Fanny, you've been amazing. Thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you for inviting.
No, you're definitely an upgrade on Adam Gordon, actually. So
if you hear us, sorry, Adam.
the crowd, I'm sure, will agree. But we will be back, I think, next year. I've tried to do another show this week, but I can't. And then we're into the Christmas period. No one's going to be bothered. So I think we're going to roll in to the next show in January 2020. Thank you, everyone, for following the channel. If you haven't already followed the channel, by the way, go and do that. We'll be having a new slate of show, 40 episodes again for next year. Hopefully we'll continue to add some value and a little bit of entertainment for your Fridays. Okay, that's me signing out.
Happy New Year to everybody then.
Indeed. Happy festivities. Happy Friday. Enjoy your weekend, everyone.
Bye.